The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Welcome to Raising Good Humans podcast. I'm Dr. Aliza Pressman. First of all, I'm so grateful to you, all of you. And I want to tell you, just for those of you who have not been here before, or for those of you who have, but just kind of didn't know this, I have a book called The 5 Principles of Parenting, Your Essential Guide to Raising Good Humans. It's on audio and in the written form, in the hardcover. And it's a New York Times bestseller. And I really think it's helpful for any parent. It's not meant to be read all at once. You can grab it and then just have it as a resource. Just wanted to throw that out there. And also, this podcast is free. That means there are ads. And so I just want to tell you, because sometimes people don't love ads, can't really change the ads, but I do try to be careful about who my sponsors are so that I'm at least giving you good ads. And if you enjoy this, the best way to thank me is to write a little review in Apple, because when you do a 5-star rating and a nice review, it puts the podcast out into more people's feeds. So it takes a little, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, and I know people are busy, but I so appreciate it. And if you have constructive feedback, just DM me on Instagram at Raising Good Humans Podcast, and I will try to get back to you and also send in questions, because I do have a Substack where I answer questions, draliza.substack.com. There's also a free parent group every month on the, actually, that's not true. It's not free. It's $4.99 a month. The articles are free, but the parent group is $4.99 a month. And we have a live Zoom, and it's just a place to do live Q&A and talk about what's on your mind and connect with other parents. So today's episode is with Dr. Mary Haver. She has an Instagram account, by the way, that makes you feel like social media has some real benefits. It's so helpful. She has a new book called The New Menopause, Navigating Your Path Through Hormonal Change with Purpose, Power, and Facts. Okay, so hear me out. If I remember, because I am currently at the very ripe old age of 50, and I remember up until probably 5 years ago, I did not care to hear about menopause, and I couldn't believe people cared about their necks or their hormones or feeling like they need to be their best selves in their 50s and beyond. But I have to tell you that had I known about perimenopause, which happens up to a decade before going through menopause, and the symptoms that impact your physical and mental health, and that there is a path to make that feel so much better, I would have thought this was very interesting. So this to me is a public health service to all women who are younger than I am or who are my age, but just haven't talked about it or thought about it. Of course, menopause is now part of the real conversation out there in the world. And it's such a great new way of treating women's health. But it's also not just a trend. This is game changing. And a lot of our mothers did not know to talk about this or know that there were solutions or even know what the symptoms were. So that's where Dr. Mary Claire Haver comes in. It's like having a doctor who is guiding you on things that are just all about women, and we really get ignored. Our bodies and our health kind of get ignored after we have our babies. And this is an incredible time, and we want to grow old, strong, and with ease. So finding out earlier rather than later is just all good. So that's our conversation. It's super practical. And I really hope you'll take the time to give yourself this knowledge, because it's only going to make the next decades so much better for you. If you enjoy this episode, please write a little review. Have I mentioned that so many times? It's because it really does help especially on Apple Podcasts, get the word out. So it means so much to me, every single one of your reviews. And if you have a particular type of episode you love, or kind of conversation or guest, go ahead and put it in the review, because I read every single one of them and I take them into account as I make my decisions about all of the episodes that I do. And now let's start this conversation.
My gift to everybody is that I want to share your work, because I think a lot of listeners maybe don't even realize what is coming their way. So I think we just get ignored after we have the baby stuff through. So I would love for you to tell us all what we need to know. And I mean, I know that sounds like a vague question, but when I first saw you, I was like, this is all making so much sense now. Mm-hmm. And it was so shocking to me how I could even be in a field that is adjacent enough to considering the brain and the body that I would not have even considered what was going on with mine. So I just feel like it's a gift to anybody who is younger or in that, you know, phase of wondering. And I know so many of my listeners are mothers. So I'm just going to let you go and tell us everything.
Well, I like how you framed it, because I've had people reach out to me on every level of the education spectrum. Some of the most well-connected, well-educated women in the world who absolutely did not have a clue what was happening to them and or what could happen to them and how they could prepare and what tools totally. They needed to, you know, everyone knew that menopause was coming, but there is such a dramatic misconception about what it actually is and how it can affect your body, your mind, your mental health, your emotions, all of it. And now that I'm a forward-facing menopause specialist, I just see patients who are menopausal to help them navigate through this and get to their best health. You know, that was my inspiration to write the book, because I'm having the same conversations over and over again with my patients on social media. And I wanted the book to be a place where people could go and get educated so that they're prepared. I mean, so much of women getting blindsided and feeling like, you know, the literal rugs pulled out from under them is because they had no idea. And just, you know, it's not meant to be fear-mongering. It's like, you need to be ready. These things might happen. Most likely you're going to have some constellation of all of these things, because guess what? There are estrogen receptors everywhere in our body, and anything can be affected.
Now, yeah, let's start with estrogen, because mm-hmm. I have to tell you, first I'll say, my mother had a hysterectomy when she was very young. So I didn't have information, in my view, or consider asking about what was to come. And it just wasn't a conversation. And I have a very open family, and yes, so much education. And so it was just surprising. And we talked about everything, but just this never came up. Didn't talk about it with my sister. Didn't think I was old enough. Didn't even, just nothing. And then certain symptoms started to occur that just didn't seem obvious to me. Mm-hmm. And in retrospect, they were super obvious. And so estrogen was one of the big things that, like, I did not understand the superpower of estrogen.
Yeah. I didn't either, really. I wasn't taught to me. This is something I learned post medical school residency training. Like, once I started digging in to the literature, like, why are women feeling this way? Why are they're just being dismissed? Why are so many seeing multiple specialists for multiple problems, yet really what's going on is lack of estrogen? Like, it took me going back to school, basically, to realize estrogen is a superpower, and it is a powerful anti-inflammatory hormone that affects the brain, the bones, the lungs, kidneys, the gut, you know, our musculoskeletal system, our general urinary system. Nothing is left unscathed. How we process metabolites, your cholesterol, your insulin resistance. You know, what I see in my clinic is, besides the aches and pains and the things that are acutely affecting your life, your cholesterol is going up. I mean, people's heads are going to explode, I promise you, when they hear this, because this has happened to them. Cholesterol goes up across the menopause transition with no changes in diet and exercise, just losing your estrogen.
Wow.
Your insulin resistance gets worse. just, you know, if your A1C has all of a sudden popped up out of nowhere and you have not changed diet and exercise, that's, and how about the visceral fat distribution? Those are the things that bring people into my office. Like, what is going on with this new inner tube around my waist that I never had before? And they're like, oh, by the way, I've got this frozen shoulder. I'm peeing all the time, you know? And I'm like, yeah, this is all kind of part of your, how menopause is rearing its head in your body, that loss of estrogen and progesterone and testosterone. So all three sex hormones have a job.
Well, it's interesting. And I want to, so I, and I want to keep going on estrogen first, but I will tell you that when I got frozen shoulder in my early 40s and I heard nothing about how it could possibly be related to perimenopause, absolutely nothing, even to the point where I asked the orthopedist what it could, like, could it be related to aging? Could it be related to, like, I asked all these questions and I think I even said, I mean, is there any association with perimenopause? And my doctor flat out said, absolutely not. We just do not understand this, but it does happen to the majority of folks. It happens to our women between the ages of 40 and 60. And I was like, huh, okay. And I just trusted that the doctor knew.
Well, that study came out of Duke University and it was the female head of OB-GYN with the female head of orthopedic surgery who got together over lunch one day, I guess, I'm making this up, but like, and said, hey, seems like there's got to be a connection. They pulled all the data and we're like, yeah, women who are on HRT actually have a lower chance of developing a new onset of frozen shoulder. So it's the loss of the gap without estrogen that increases the risk. But that study wasn't published till 2020.
Okay, then I feel better because it had not come out yet. So I'm so glad because I was like, this is crazy. That, so that was my first moment, my first symptom that took forever to get better.
2 years, yeah.
Totally. And then my other shoulder went frozen maybe, you know, not like probably 2 years ago. So I think it's really interesting that those kinds of things that other doctors, like physicians, just don't know necessarily about what's going on, but you're going to different physicians about different symptoms.
And now a quick word for my sponsor. This podcast is sponsored in part by Active Skin Repair, a 1% for the planet member who believe personal health and health of the environment are connected. So Active Skin Repair donates 1% of all sales to grassroots environmental initiatives to protect and restore our natural world. And Active Skin Repair is all natural and non-toxic. It's a topical solution that's formulated to help repair and heal damaged skin. I have had a bit of a gnawing on my cuticles. And so I used Active Skin Repair to help me out a little bit. Because when applied to skin, Active Skin Repair works by mimicking the natural immune response to help to soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support healing. And it's not just for when you bite your cuticles. Active Skin Repair can also be used to treat a wide range of skin issues, including other cuts and scrapes, burns, sunburns, rashes, and other skin damage. It's safe, it's non-toxic, so it's suitable for all skin types, even the most sensitive skin. Visit www.activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and their commitment to 1% for the planet. Do not forget, use the code HUMANS because you can save 20% off on all Active Skin Repair products. And it feels really good because you can focus on helping the planet, helping your skin. It feels great.
So back to estrogen. The thing is, for a lot of women, we associate estrogen negatively because of our age and because of historically like what the misconceptions were. So I want to go into a few of the benefits of estrogen and why there's misconceptions, unless you think talking about that misconception might like increase the chance of more misunderstandings.
So when we look at natural age of menopause, okay, the average age in the US is 51, but it's still normal between 45 and 55, meaning 95% of women will reach their natural menopause, which is basically natural menopause is you are out of eggs. We are born with our entire egg supply, just like brain cells, okay? This is this, and we don't regenerate new eggs like men do in their testicles. That's the biggest difference between males and females as far as sex hormones. They generate their stuff fresh every day once they're past puberty. We are stuck with what we're born with. So We're born with 1 to 2 million. We reach about 10% critical, you know, we're down to 10% at about age 30. And by 40, on average, we're down to 3%. And menopause represents the end of your egg supply because we're constantly losing them about 11,000 a month through ovulation. And then we're losing the quality of the eggs. So their ability to kind of do what they're supposed to do, which is why we see more chromosomal abnormalities and miscarriages as we're in later age. And so you're out of eggs. That factory, those ovaries are now shut down. They're no longer producing sex hormones in any clinically significant way. And that's the source of estradiol in our body. Women have so many health advantages over men until menopause. Lower cardiovascular disease, lower stroke, to lower diabetes, lower obesity risk. Okay? Estrogen is incredibly protective for these disease states. And then boom, we lose our estrogen. Our risks don't just linearly go up. They start skyrocketing and surpass that of a man. So yes, we live longer than men. We do. But we live 20% of that life in poor health. And now there's studies exploding looking at diseases that are predominantly female in the aging woman that were always past attributed to, you're just going to live longer, so you're going to have more of this disease. But then when they do age match for menopause, they realize it's not, that's not the case. Dementia is one of them. And so we're now learning, if you read Lisa Moscone's book, The Menopause Brain, you know, Alzheimer's is a disease that begins in midlife that doesn't have symptoms until old age, but the process starts in midlife at menopause.
Okay, so what can we do to, now that we're learning all of this, mm-hmm. what do we do about it? And so, how can we start thinking about it before the mm-hmm. onset?
So I think knowing all these things are kind of, look at your family history. Look at your parents, what diseases they've dealt with. And remember that estrogen can be a part of your toolkit past menopause or, you know, through the menopause transition to help decrease your risk of developing those diseases or stave them off. We know from the Women's Health Initiative that women who started estrogen replacement therapy within 10 years of their last menstrual period have lower cardiovascular disease, like 50% a year lower, and lower death from cardiovascular disease and lower all-cause mortality than women who did not take hormone therapy. So that's kind of one thing. The risks associated with estrogen replacement have been grossly overblown, okay? And the benefits have been largely underutilized. And so estrogen therapy and, you know, menopausal hormone therapy can be incredibly protective against several diseases, but there is a window of opportunity, at least for neurodementia and for cardiovascular disease, where you need to start at least within 10 years of your menopause to get that benefit. It doesn't mean it's harmful after. You're just probably going to have the usual risk of cardiovascular disease. Now, that being said, when I approach menopause care with my patients, hormones are only one part of the conversation. And so nutrition, you know, and there's several things I think we're not emphasizing as women of this age or moving into the menopause transition, we're not getting enough fiber. And that's critical, critical for diabetes, you know, decreasing diabetes risk, critical for gut microbiome health. And so, you know, women on average get about 12 grams of fiber. We need at least 25 minimum per day. I push for 35 personally. We are not getting enough vitamin D. The 80% of my patients are vitamin D deficient, not just low. I mean, like really, really low. That is a critical hormone. Vitamin D is a hormone. Multiple enzymatic processes in our body. Get your vitamin D levels checked.
And once you do, are these things that supplements can take care of?
Some. We really should, you know, with my degree in nutrition now, well, I have a certification in nutrition as a postgraduate certification. We should get our nutrition from food. That should be what you strive to do. If you can't, then you supplement. Supplements are meant to supplement a healthy diet. You don't swallow a handful of supplements and think it's negating a poor choice, right? Mm. They don't give us superpowers. You know, I see people coming in with truckloads, hundreds of dollars a month, but they're not eating food. You know, and I'm like, you really, really, really should get this nutrition from food. And we just supplement to fill in the gaps. We talk about movement. So, you know, I grew up in the 80s and 90s. I was a cardio queen. I ran marathons. And I really had this false sense of health security because I was thin. You know, so my genetics combined with obsessive cardio kept me a certain shape. And that smaller body in my mind as a doctor made me think that I was healthier. And I chipped away at my bone and muscle strength by doing that. I didn't lift a weight until I was in my 50s. And so,
wow.
you know, not seriously. I might've had some 2 pound weights, at, you know, Zumba right, or right, something.
Right. No, this is so, this is such
but
a gift.
Muscle strength women. Is everything. These are the conversations I'm having with my clinic, not just HRT. It's not a magic bullet. I mean, I wish I could turn back the clock and we'd all have 25-year-old ovaries, but hormone therapy is not perfect. It's not your ovaries. And it's going to go a long way, but you can't ignore the other things. And I'm so sorry. And it happened to me too. But the habits that kept us a certain size in our 30s and 40s are not probably going to serve us in our 40s, 50s, and 60s. And so...
Okay, so what are weights? Like what helped with bone density here?
Bone density. Because- okay, so like I have my nursing home prevention protocol. You know, I'm trying to limit my time in a long-term hair care facility as much as possible. I do not want my kids to go through what I'm going through with my mother, okay? And what we're going through with my husband's father, okay? What can we do to lower that? So we look. I looked at every study done in nursing home and women. So we know they're menopausal. We know they're so women with osteoporosis and osteopenia. They threw weighted vest on them just throughout their normal activities. So I'm a huge fan of the weighted vest. Start with 10% of your body weight. You can get them. You know, Aldi had them for $14. Amazon has them for $25. That is an easy way you can wear it around the house. I wear it.
I want to order it while I'm on this
cleaning the kitchen. Well, it's a little sneaky way, and then as you get stronger, you increase the weight, okay? So vibratory training, zone 2 training, you know, there's a lot of controversy. Look, if you're on the couch, get up and walk. We got to start where you are. If you're walking, pick up some weights. Get some weights on your wrist, put the weighted vest on, like keep, and you have to remember the where we lose the most muscle and bone strength is when we're sick or when we're injured. We have these like plateaus and then you drop. Plateau and then you drop. So when you're healthy is when you really have to push to build because we're all going to fall. We're all going to get sick. We're all going to have these downtimes. So you really have to kind of push to get stronger during those other times. Protein. Constantly talking to my patients about protein, especially those on GLP-1 agonists. And so the ones who are on like Ozempic and Wegovy for good, reasonable health reasons, I'm really focused on protein intake and resistance training. We don't want to sacrifice our muscle to get to a number on the scale. And that just blows people's minds. They're like, no, I have to weigh a certain thing. I'm like, I don't care how much subcutaneous fat you have. Let's hold on to that muscle and build some. Let's get rid of the visceral fat, that intra-abdominal fat. And that's the fat that increases in menopause.
So we want to focus on protein, muscle built, like weighted vests, lifting weights. Does Pilates count?
Pilates can count if you're doing progressive load. So some people do Pilates on reformers and it's very, very strenuous. You know, you get an early bone density scan. You know, don't wait till 65. Go and pay the $99. Go find one at your local community. Lots of people, little shops are popping up with densiometers. And I found one outside of Houston that had, it was called DexaFit. They're not paying me to say this. $99. I walked in. I'm like, there it is. The same machine I'd seen in the hospital for 30 years. The Hologic, you know, did my bone density, gave me muscle mass, gave me visceral fat, like gave me great measurements that then I can use. And so I have a scanner in my office, not a bone density because I don't have enough room. They're huge. And that does electrical impedance. So it does muscle mass and it does visceral and subcutaneous fat. So I'm able to guide my patients nutritionally as to what kind of goals we need to hit.
Okay, so when people are thinking about kind of preparing their body and paying attention, we're talking about making these changes to diet and exercise and checking on your hormone. Do we check hormone levels or are you thinking about how you feel?
So really, there's not, because when we go pre-menopause, where every month in our normal natural cycle, so if you're healthy and you have a monthly period, okay, your hormone cycle looks like an EKG. You have a rise over here and a second rise over there. So we have a kind of a burst of estrogen in the middle and then a second burst of progesterone in the last half of your cycle. Then they kind of bottom out and then the whole thing starts over again. In perimenopause, which is where women start realizing something's not right, and that looks very different for each woman, okay? You may have hot flashes and you may have cycle disruption. That's a big clue, but you may have joint pain and mental health changes and you have no idea what's going on. And so what we see is instead of that nice EKG, the peaks get longer and we see massive rise and falls. So we see this really, you know, for your listeners, I'm making my hands like a wave, you know, these dramatic rises and crashes of estrogen and progesterone way more outside of the range than we saw in premenopause. And so trying to check hormone levels on a one-time blood test doesn't really mean anything, you know? So we who are in the menopause space, the leading menopause experts in the world, do not check hormone levels. We think it's a little bit of a scam. And we diagnose perimenopause by listening to the patient and believing her, not immediately dismissing her symptoms as psychological or a part of aging. I do a lot of blood work. I'm checking thyroid. I'm checking inflammation markers. I'm doing nutritional labs. There's a lot of things I need to see if maybe there's some crossover between these two disease states, you know, and I need to rule out one or the other. I need to see where she is nutritionally. Let's see what her baseline inflammation is. And then I'm making counseling after that, but I'm rarely checking hormones.
Okay. And if someone is asymptomatic, but they're obviously going through some kind of perimenopause or menopause because just getting their period is less regular, should they be treating is there like a preventive thing they should be doing?
Those of us in our space are thinking probably so. We don't have the studies there yet to say clearly these women are going to benefit. We know it's going to help with mental health. Women who start hormone therapy in perimenopause have a lower new onset of major depressive disorder and have a lower exacerbation of disease. Estrogen is a powerful in the brain. It deeply affects serotonin and progesterone affects dopamine. And testosterone does a little mucking in there as well. And so, you know, we know that you have an eightfold, according to the latest Australian research, they found an eightfold increase of depressive disorders across the menopause transition. Especially, imagine we're layering that on with going to the doctor and him telling you, you're just crazy. Here's an SSRI. Not that you won't need an antidepressant, but about 50% of women who start hormone therapy can stop their antidepressants and they do very well.
So incredible.
And now a quick break so I can tell you about my sponsors. 80 to 90% of Americans suffer from some gut issue, whether it's gas, bloating, diarrhea, constipation. According to research, 99.9% of the probiotics on the market actually die in your naturally harsh stomach acid before they even get where they're needed, even the refrigerated ones. How can a probiotic survive our 98-degree bodies if it can't withstand room temperature? 70 to 80% of your immune system lives in your gut. It really is the core of our health. Just Thrive has proprietary strains that have been third-party clinically tested and arrive at 100% alive in your gut. It's the only brand with a patented strain HU36, which produces antioxidants in the gut. Just Thrive products have more clinical research than any other probiotics on the market. It's 1,000 times better survivability versus yogurt and leading probiotics. And it's paleo, keto, vegetarian, and vegan-friendly, gluten-free, dairy-free, soy, sugar, and histamine-free, and non-GMO, and all the things. So it's safe for all ages, even kids and pregnant or nursing moms. And if you don't like taking capsules, you can just open the capsule and sprinkle it into your coffee. So if you are ready to take control and live your healthiest life yet, you can get 20% off your first 90-day bottle of Just Calm and Just Thrive probiotic today. Visit justthrivehealth.com and use the promo code HUMANS. And while you're there, you can check out their other clinically backed products. Take control today with Just Thrive. This episode is brought to you in part by Saks.com. Saks.com is an easy way at your fingertips to find style inspiration for fun, meaningful, situation-specific moments. Saks.com is making it easy for me to put together outfits for my book tour. Basically, I want to be able to wear things in different ways multiple times because I don't need a brand new outfit for every single event, but I want to have fun and look put together. So if you want an easy way to go shopping, go to Saks.com. They have instant inspiration for finding a new look, refreshing your closet, and it's easy to navigate. You can plug in by size, by price, by shape, by type of clothing. So if you're like me and you're looking for great workout fits, new investment pieces that make you feel really good and really comfortable when you have to put yourself out there, go to Saks.com. It's so easy to find your new vibe. You can shop Saks.com for everything on your agenda, whether it is a Chloe blazer for a book tour or a breezy Zimmermann dress for date night. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Okay, so along those lines, as we're figuring this all out, it sounds like, I mean, I feel like there's been such an enormous shift in having this conversation just from the time that I met you till now,
mm-hmm.
right? Like,
yeah, it's been pretty exciting for me because I kind of felt like I was screaming into the void for a while, and then all of a sudden people are listening. So like my following on social media just exploded, and it is a beautiful thing to see because I try to provide tools. Like the book is the ultimate tool, but you know, I have resources on my website on how to talk to your doctor, questions to ask, resources to take in there to show them. And like people telling me it worked, you know, that they didn't have to see four providers, that they went in prepared and they knew and they weren't scared and they knew what could have happened and they recognized that these symptoms were most likely and they just went in very clearly to their physician and they got what they needed.
And what is the fear? Like I know what it is. I mean, I kind of do know what the fear is because we all typically have concerns and fears around any medication, any changes, all that.
Right. And so I don't look at hormone therapy as medication. I think of it as like, you don't have a thyroid anymore and we're just giving you thyroid hormone. You don't have ovaries that function anymore. We're just giving you back your hormones so that you can continue critical enzymatic processes where you will thrive more likely than without it. Can you be healthy without hormone therapy? Of course you can, but it's going to be harder.
And for people who feel they're not, or who are told they're not candidates for hormone therapy,
there's there's so much misinformation about that. Poor ladies are being told because they've had a blood clot or they have a family history of a clotting disorder, they absolutely can't take hormone therapy. That's not true. You know, there's differences in formulations, differences in, you know, amounts. It's a very nuanced conversation, but it's really rare that a patient has an absolute contraindication to hormone therapy. But you really need to find a menopause educated provider. And sadly, I was a residency program director for OBGYN at a major institution. I knew the curriculum backwards and forwards. It is literally like a paragraph on menopause. Her period stops. Yeah. She might have some hot flashes. Try not to give her estrogen. You might give her breast cancer. All of that's been disproven. But it just takes forever for the new data to get propagated through the medical system and into the offices of the basic OB-GYN who was never taught this.
Yeah, no, and it's true. It's true in my field. It's true in pediatrics. It's true in psychology.
Yeah, like, they said it's 17 years from bench to clinical practice.
It was funny because I've been noticing so many articles in my field or adjacent fields with revolutionary conversations about, you know, the neuroscience and parenting or like anything about the developing child and the parent-child relationship. And I'm like, why is this called revolutionary? I learned this 2 decades ago. I'm so confused. But I think that 17-year lag it's a big deal because it takes so many years where you're hearing from other even professionals, some skeptical responses, and it makes you question it. And I think with menopause, that is just all I've heard. Like either people who are not trained or people who are physicians in other fields who feel like their job is to focus on not treating symptoms of menopause.
So like, it's so interesting you say that because last week on International Women's Day, The Lancet, which is a huge British journal, very well respected, posted a 4-part series on menopause. And we were so excited, like, yay, finally. And the headlines look great, but when you got into the nitty gritty, it was shocking. I was enraged. Like, it was basically suck it up, turn on your fans, and open your legs. Like, only if you're dying can you have hormone therapy. Instead, and you know, we really don't think that mental health changes. I mean, we have study after study after study. They were pulling data from the 80s, from the 70s, you know, and it was you just realize there is a mindset in certain bench clinicians who don't actually talk to menopausal women on a daily basis that menopause is something to be endured and it's a normal part of aging. Menopause is normal, meaning it happens to everyone, but it doesn't mean that it's a part of health that we're not going to support. Every other condition associated with aging, presbyopia, erectile dysfunction, There's no hesitation or judgment to support. Yet somehow women who want to stay their healthiest through menopause, there's so much judgment. It's ridiculous.
Oh, and it's such a relief to hear from physicians who know how to care in the way that we deserve. It is such a relief. And it's made such a difference in my happiness and physical well-being. So I just feel like it's a service to younger women. And we never got to hear about this. We just didn't. Who or where can people find physicians who are going to really be fluent in this knowledge?
So I wish I could tell you, you could just walk into your awesome OB-GYN who delivered your babies and did your surgeries and gave you birth control, that they automatically would be all over menopause and know what to do to help you. That's just not happening right now. So what do you do? Ask first. Ask your basic OB-GYN. Ask now. Start the conversation. You know, even if you're premenopausal, start that conversation. Feel them out to see where they are. There's a big wave happening and a lot are getting up to speed because they realize they got to help these women and they weren't taught. So huge knowledge gap, you know, amongst providers. The Menopause Society, menopause.org in the US has a list of certified providers. I am one. I had to take a test. You know, it shows that you've done a little extra work in the area and that you're willing to sit for a four-hour exam, pass this test. I have a list on my website at thepauselife.com of testimonials from my followers who were gracious enough to just submit great doctor's name. We put the website. We just verify they're actually practicing medicine. And you can go read the testimonial. It's divided by city and state. And we have some from Canada and Europe as well. And then there's some really great telemedicine providers who have been who have saw a need and have developed to specifically take care of menopausal patients. And some take insurance, some don't. I have a list of them on my website as well.
So I'm going to have in the show notes the website and The New Menopause, which is the book that's the Bible for everybody that's going through this, that's going to be going through this. I know I might sound extreme. It's got everything. And here's what I will say. I sound really sort of excited about this because I didn't have this, and I saw the massive shift in my health and well-being from learning this and from getting the right treatment. And I felt like I promise that every woman that I come into contact with who is younger than I am, I'm going to make sure that they have access to this information. And now you have this book that is all of this under one roof. And it really comes at you by surprise in the strangest ways.
I can tell you, if I didn't change, if I just accepted the status quo and kept the same habits and, you know, did not embrace hormone therapy, I would have elevated cholesterol. I would be diabetic. I would weigh more in the wrong places. I would not be able to sleep, and I would not be able to have led this charge, you know, to be the practicing physician that I was. I probably would have been forced to retire because I could not work those hours anymore. It was impossible.
It's not sexy. Like, it's not a known sexy thing. So I think we, funnily enough, feel like this era is just this beautiful time in life.
I love it. I'm so happy.
Like, I have never felt, I really feel like, oh my God, I can't believe I am so much more confident and more comfortable in my skin. However, the word menopause just in this generation is just like a whispered word that feels like very unsexy and old lady-like in my view. Like, it just was that was just sort of the way it was talked about. And so it's not something that you would share because it feels like you're saying, I have these, you know, like old lady symptoms that I don't want to talk about.
And that's how my view of it was too, you know?
But no, like, more.
No more. No more. I'm living the best 30 years of my life. The next 30 years are going to be the best 30 years. And I'm going to keep it that way. I have to work a lot harder, but yeah.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.